Good morning. It's time for chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Acts chapter 22, verses 17 through 29. The Reverend Michael Meyer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Acts chapter 22. When I had returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, I fell into a trance and saw him saying to me, "Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me." And I said, "Lord, they themselves know that in one synagogue after another, I imprisoned and beat those who believed in you. And when the blood of Stephen, your witness, was being shed, I myself was standing by and approving and watching over the garments of those who killed him." And he said to me, "Go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles." Up to this word, they listened to him. Then they raised their voices and said, "Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live." And as they were shouting and throwing off their cloaks and flinging dust into the air, the tribune ordered him to be brought into the barracks, saying that he should be examined by flogging to find out why they were shouting against him like this. But when they had stretched him out for the whips, Paul said to the centurion who was standing by, "Is it lawful for you to flog a man who is a Roman citizen and uncondemned?" When the centurion heard this, he went to the tribune and said to him, "What are you about to do? For this man is a Roman citizen." So the tribune came and said to him, "Tell me, are you a Roman citizen?" And he said, "Yes." The tribune answered, "I bought this citizenship for a large sum." Paul said, "But I am a citizen by birth." So those who were about to examine him withdrew from him immediately, and the tribune also was afraid, for he realized that Paul was a Roman citizen and that he had bound him. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
amen.
Paul was no stranger to suffering, imprisonment, countless beatings, and often near death, a five-time receiver of 40 lashes minus one, thrice beaten with rods, thrice shipwrecked, in danger on land and sea, and every which direction, even a thorn in the flesh that was not removed. So if you ever need a reminder that the servant is not above his master, that the faithful followers of Christ may... Rather, the faithful followers of Christ will endure suffering and persecution, well, then you have to look no further than Paul. And yet we see in our reading this morning that despite the propensity to fall into hardship and pain, he will, in fact, avail himself of the opportunities given to him to avoid it. In other words, he does not seek out pain for the sake of pain. Rather, he uses the mechanism available to him, and he appeals to his rights as a Roman citizen. There'll be no flogging by examination or examination by flogging, and there's no needless suffering this day. But there will be a trial, and that means a forum to confess Christ to the Jewish people, of course, and then to the Roman magistrates. And look around today, and you find that not a lot has changed. The trappings are different, of course, and we talk a pretty good game about how we don't have to suffer like they used to or that they do in other countries, as if our society has advanced so far beyond the persecution of Christianity. But maybe that's because we don't faithfully confess Christ in the face of secularism like we should be, or with regularity and with absolute clarity. Instead, we talk about the separation of church and state as if that means that the two are completely and utterly separate with nothing to do with each other. In truth, that was never meant to silence the voice of the church, but it was meant to mitigate the intrusion of the state into the churches. The church has every right to enter the public square and to confess, to speak in season and out, to reprove, to rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching, of course. And every Christian also has this inalienable right. Like Paul before us, we are to use the God-given vocations that we have as citizens to confess Christ, to confess the sanctity of human life from conception to natural death, and to speak the gospel to unwed mothers and to widows. It means that we should use everything that we have to lift up the biblical principles of marriage. It also means that we are called to confess before the world that Christ came and he died for sinners, of whom I am chief, and that he was raised again for our justification. Now, it's possible that suffering will be the result. Friends may not look at you the same way, and you may lose some of those friends altogether. The offering plates may be a little bit lighter, and tax bills for churches may soon be on their doorsteps, and a proverbial noose may be slipped around the neck. And yet those things didn't stop Paul, did they? His suffering would increase over his final years, but only for a little while. For in death, he finally attained the victory that Christ won for him, and he now enjoys the final Sabbath rest. And so also for you. This is not encouragement, of course, to wantonly seek out suffering. It is simply an admonition to confess Christ at all times and in all the places that you find yourself, regardless of what may come. Do not be afraid. Know that Christ is with you, just like he was with Paul. He may not knock you off a horse or blind you, for that we can be thankful, I think, but he is with you in the midst of all that you have to endure, giving you strength and comfort. He intimately knows what it's like to suffer for speaking the truth. He knows what it's like to be persecuted by the zeitgeist of the day, to be completely abandoned and alone. And all this he suffered for you. And he has promised that he will not abandon you to the same. Thus, he has called you. He has called you into a community of believers in holy baptism. He has placed his mark upon your brow and called you his very own. And he daily and he richly forgives you all your sins and the sins of all believers. He preaches into your ears through weak and frail pastors. He preaches the joy of the resurrection, and he gives to you a foretaste of that future in his body and his blood. Now, these things are not mere tokens bereft of vitality. They are life itself, given to you and for you. So don't be afraid and don't be shy, for I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor presidential elections, nor Hollywood, nor Silicon Valley, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for Chaplain Timothy Rosenthal, who is deployed. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.